Very few of us have experienced anything quite like what we're going through now. It's hard to describe a global pandemic. Our leaders, though, they seem pretty certain.
America continues to wage all-out war to defeat the virus, this horrible, horrible virus.
We must act like any wartime government.
Nous sommes en guerre.
We're at war, French President Emmanuel Macron, with the same comparison made by Donald Trump and Boris Johnson. And they were not the first ones. Back in January, Chinese leader Xi Jinping called for a people's war against the virus. So why is this kind of rhetoric so attractive to global politicians? Maybe there's a better metaphor. Here's Patrick Cox with that story.
Okay, here's a quick reminder of the figure of speech we're talking about.
Basically, metaphor is the phenomenon whereby we see one thing in terms of another.
Eleanor Cimino is a linguist at Lancaster University in Britain. We're not at war, she says. We all know that. But our situation bears some resemblance to life during wartime.
The choice of metaphor can affect not just the way in which we talk about something, but potentially the way we think about something and experience it.
This is the great power of metaphor. It can transform our understanding of a situation, make us think differently, and maybe even act differently. That's why leaders confronted with this pandemic reached for the war metaphor so quickly. They needed to convey the peril in the starkest of terms, like Winston Churchill did during a real war.
What crimes has Hitler and all that Hitler stands for brought upon Europe and the world? The outrage of the unopposed air bombing applied with calculated and scientific cruelty to helpless populations.
Once the existential nature of the threat is established, society may be better prepared for what comes next.
Lift up your hearts. All will come right out of the depths of sorrow and of sacrifice. Will be born again the glory of mankind.
With a formula as powerful as that, why wouldn't a president or governor declare that we're at war? And why wouldn't we buy it? Seema Yasmin teaches medicine and journalism at Stanford.
I have to say that I too sometimes slip up and fall into that language, but I think it's really important to correct ourselves and think about the impact that can be had when you're using really violent language at a time when people are already anxious and already scared. Like, how does that really help us?
The trouble is, says Yasmin, this stuff is almost hardwired in us. We've deployed war metaphors to describe our attempts to control epidemics since at least the mid-1600s.
When there was a very famous British doctor called Thomas Sydenham, and this might be one of the earliest instances of that kind of violent language in medicine, but he said, "I attack the enemy within. A murderous array of disease has to be fought against, and the battle is not a battle for the sluggard." And then we've skipped to the 19th century when Louis Pasteur, the French biologist who talked about the germ theory of disease, he talked about infectious disease being invading armies that lay siege to our bodies. So really imperialistic language, actually, that ties in with what was happening politically then. They talked about disease had to be conquered very much in the same way that continents and dark continents had to be conquered too.
Yasmin says in the 1920s, cancer cells were described as anarchists or Bolsheviks, the enemies of that era. And in 1971, Richard Nixon took aim with his own war on cancer. So are there better ways to talk about our current situation? Lancaster University's Elena Cimino says yes. She oversees a crowdsource project called the Metaphor Menu that lists the many ways that people with cancer think of their condition. Weaponizing their struggle works for some patients, she says, but others prefer to think of themselves as being on a journey or in a difficult relationship, or for one person, like having a stone in her shoe. As for the coronavirus, Cimino says it might be time to drop all the war talk.
If a war is protracted, people could become fed up with it, they could become fatalistic, they could think that there's no victory in sight, and so the messages could become less effective.
Cimino's come across several other metaphors that she thinks work well. The most comprehensive one compares the pandemic to a forest fire.
You could say that the problem is like a fire that is raging. There are firefighters who are fighting it directly, such as doctors, nurses, etc. But other people have to be vigilant in order not to get in the way and not to be in danger themselves. You could then extend the metaphor and say, when the main fire seems to be under control, we still need to remain to be vigilant, we need to be attentive, we might still have to continue to modify our behavior. And you could also have a situation where the fire has, to all intents and purposes, been extinguished, but there could be some bits that are still smoldering that we're not necessarily immediately aware of, and they may create future fires. So that allows for the possibility that there might be future crises. And even further down the line, the metaphor can be extended to suggest that to avoid future fires, you need to look after the wood and you need to look after the land in ways that make future fires less likely.
If that metaphor proves inaccurate or unwieldy, Cimino's collected others, including comparisons with child development, orchestras, and parachutes. For The World, I'm Patrick Cox.
Patrick Cox is the co-host of the podcast about language, Subtitle.